The Jays were supposed to be in action in Philly. They were supposed to be there all weekend, but we know that they have had that series postponed. And about 20% of baseball is currently postponed based on what's going on in the world and COVID and the precautions being taken throughout baseball. But right. We're five games in, and it's good to have baseball back. And we've had some big storylines coming out of the Blue Jays camp. And to chat about it all, we're joined now by the president and CEO of the club. Here is Mark Shapiro back on Overdrive. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
And all things considered, I'm doing well. So it's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. So let's get to how your team has reacted to this. I mean, there's been a lot of hurdles kind of thrown at you, considering you can't play at home.
That's like the understatement of the year.
Right exactly. And, you know, you've got players who are trying to win ball games, and there's a lot being thrown at them. How do you think your team has handled everything?
It's interesting. Like, you know, the one thing I think I've kind of gone through some rough days, and then you sit back and you remind yourself, hey, we're not alone here. This is not a Toronto Blue Jay problem. This is not an MLB problem. It's not a sports problem. This is a global challenge. But in the context of the world that I live in and the Blue Jays live in, we have been dealt a very different hand from all of our other competitors, from, you know, everything from figuring out how to conduct training here, which our guys were incredible with and turned what could have been something they complained about into, I think, what has been an advantage for us, to not knowing where we were going to play our home games and having that change on us dramatically in the hours before the decision and 6 days before opening day. And then in the 6 days that followed, you know, having gone through three changes as well. So, and now, you know, being in a city on the road, you know, and what will end up being 16 straight days on the road, which is not normal, you know, cushy professional athlete travel. It's a lot more challenging and a lot different, and a lot of time alone in a city that they really have no reason to be in while three games get canceled against the Phillies. And the one thing I've seen uniformly, which I think is a pretty strong indicator of the character of this team, is that they don't complain. They continue to focus on what they can control, and they want to play baseball, which is a good thing. You know, they want to get back and play baseball and get out on the field, and that's when they're at their happiest. So I do think that response to everything they're going through, while there are far more important things than just playing baseball games right now, but that response is a good indicator of, combined with the talent, which has been evident even in the few games we played, is a good indicator of what these guys are capable of doing in the future.
Well, and at some point you guys will find a home. You'll get home, but it's not truly your home. You're going to be down in Buffalo, although a lot of your players are familiar with that market, playing there in AAA or just in the minors in general. But in that, I guess, pursuit of a home, once you heard the news from the federal government that they weren't going to allow you to play in Toronto, who was helping you with that? Were you guys on an island? Was Major League Baseball helping you? Was the PA?
Yeah.
How did you get to that point? And did you feel like you were being helped along?
Did feel like we were being helped, but of course, no one has as much invested in the solutions as us. I mean, we engaged the players right away. They were really strong about exploring Major League alternatives. We quickly had one done in Pittsburgh, as you guys know, which would have been great, and would have been still different and still not our home, but it would have been a good place to play. And then that fell through, you know, unexpectedly, although at this point I think everything for me, the unexpected is the expected. And then we pivoted to Baltimore. The owner there was, believe it or not, a classmate of mine for 11 years growing up. And so John Angelos and I worked through that. We couldn't get certainty with the government there. And the uncertainty was enough for me to just pivot to one of the only known alternatives we had, which was Buffalo. But every step of the way, I was talking to Commissioner Manfred at least once, if not twice a day. And what we've done in Buffalo, I just got the pictures this morning, is remarkable. I mean, we're trying to take a minor league facility, and that's not a slight on Buffalo. It is what it is. It's a minor league facility. And make it to major league standards, but then layer on top of that the virus protocol, which creates the need for additional space. And already up in the right field parking lot are a giant tent structure for the visiting teams. We've built batting cages on the concourse, a weight room on the concourse that has all the features of our weight room in Toronto, and then we've taken the entire service level, home and visiting sides, taken out the batting cages, built lockers and clubhouses and other spaces that we need. So the pictures that I got this morning were pretty remarkable. I think, is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to exceed our players' expectations? I think. And then in addition to that, we have to do some major upgrades to the lighting, as you guys know, and the field. So we're doing that alone, but we have a contractor that MLB uses to do their Field of Dreams and their Williamsport games and the other games. The game they did at Fort Benning last year in Georgia, that's helping us and doing a lot of the construction, because obviously we're not capable of doing all that alone.
What about living conditions in Buffalo? How do you make your players feel comfortable and make it feel like home to an extent for a couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're used to not to living in places that aren't their primary residences. We've got a great player support staff led by Shannon Curley, who will, talk to every single player individually. So if they want to live in a hotel, we'll line out the best hotel options. If they want to get an apartment, we'll line out the best apartment options. The minor league ownership group in Buffalo, which I've known obviously for over 20 years because I was affiliated with them when I was in Cleveland, so was Ross, is one of the most supportive groups that exist in minor league baseball. So they had that infrastructure to kind of pair players with what they're looking for. They know their market far better than us, and they'll be a great resource for us in helping our players find what will be temporary residences, but will be important for it to feel like a home, especially after the way we're going to have to start this year, guys. It's going to, obviously a huge strain.
Something positive to focus on. How'd you feel about the debut for Nate Pearson, and is there going to be any limitations in terms of innings limits for him this season?
I think we're not, we in general don't put firm innings limits on. What we do is try to do our best to monitor fatigue. And I think once you see fatigue set in, that is the biggest precursor to potential injury. So we will monitor that closely through a bunch of different ways, some subjectively, some objectively. But yeah, that was pretty special. I mean, that was pretty exciting. He's obviously a special talent. But to see a guy go through the rotation with just two pitches and then, I've gone through the rotation. I think I'll break out my curveball now. And, I think I'll drop in a changeup after not having thrown one for the first, four innings. And it's pretty darn good. And you could see the hitter's reaction. I've fought this not just with Nate. I've fought this with watching the quality of our lineups of our at-bats from top to bottom. And even, I know we've lost a couple close games. The game yesterday, and we were in that game till the end as well. We've been in every game up until and we've lost some games due to just bullpen, like they call baseball a game of inches. Teoscar's ball goes 6 inches one way or the other, and Yamaguchi never gets in, and we win that game. So I just think I see tangible, reasons to believe that we're taking the next steps. I would say this to you: if you could sit and talk to Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, if you could talk to Dave Martinez, the manager of the Nationals right now, and ask them what they think of the Blue Jays in a candid moment, they would tell you they don't want to play us, and they would tell you that they could feel our team. And to me, when you see that, you start to see people realizing, like, oh, these aren't just young guys that are going to be good. These guys are good. You're taking that step, and you're on your way. So we have work to do. We're not a finished product. But we are one of the youngest teams in Major League Baseball, and whether it's Anthony Kay, Thomas Hatch, Ryan Barucki, and Nate Pearson starting to see the pitching coming with the position players, top to bottom, we're getting closer to that team that you guys. It's not that hard to say, oh, that's a championship core. They need to do a couple things for sure, but that's a championship core.
With Mark Shapiro, well, with the expanded playoffs, I mean, we have not been shy of saying potentially a playoff team. I mean, it's a unique 60-game ride to begin with, so anything can happen, as we know. But you guys are off to a decent start. I think you probably should have more wins than you do, but that's baseball. But yeah. With the expanded playoffs, how has that adjusted maybe your expectations for this season?
I don't know what to expect this year. I mean, I think, I'm living in a world where the expectations that I've had change every day I wake up. They sometimes change within a day. I can tell you this. The only thing that has been certain for me is the best 3 to 4 hours of my day over the past 5 months has been watching the team play those seven games. Watching the first seven innings of those games. But you know, those watching us play has been a reminder of just how much I love the game and a reminder of, you know, how special this group can be. Because those are young guys that are showing some leadership, that are taking the next step, that are not accepting the excuse of the challenges we're facing. If we are to make the playoffs with the schedule we'll have in the AL East and the NL East and the adversity we've had not having at home, playing 16 straight days on the road, you know, it will be a testament to their resilience and a testament to their belief in each other, and really a really, really good sign for what's coming even beyond this year.
With Mark Shapiro here on Overdrive, one of the bigger adjustments you guys made, and it was your decision, it wasn't based on something happening around the world, was shifting Vladdy from third to first. And I think he's looked pretty comfortable in terms of scooping balls, in terms of getting to the base. He made a mistake over the weekend in Tampa. I think we all know that. He didn't know Cavanaugh shifted, or maybe that was instinct. You know, maybe playing third base, the ball comes to you, you jump for it. But you made that decision, and you're probably going to have to deal with some learning curve here. I'm sure you expected that. But why do that now? Why put Vladdy into that position in a shortened season with a bit of a different spring training 2.0? What went into that decision moving Vladdy to first?
Yeah, I would just say it wasn't like a rash decision. It's something we've talked about and thought about for a very long time. And while there might be no perfect time to do it, we felt both for his best interest and our best interest that this was the best time to do it. So I'm not sure it's constructive. It's one of those decisions that you don't want to, it's a little bit internal, and some of those things are important to keep internal, but we did feel like for both him and us, this was the best time to do it. We felt like it was inevitable, and once we got to that point, we felt like it was important to do it now for this team to be the team we need to be. And he's going to have a chance to be an above-average first baseman just because of his athleticism, and he's got some things he certainly has to do in positioning and knowing where to be and which balls to go after and which balls not to go after, which we've seen. But I do think he'll pick those things up quickly, and as long as he takes care of the rest of his game, you know, he's got a chance to not just be an adequate but be an above-average first baseman, and that's an underrated asset because it makes all the other infielders better when you have a good first baseman.
Well, you and I, I've talked about this with you. I've talked about it with Ross. It's a uniquely sports topic, but it is an appropriate one, talking about conditioning of athletes. And Vladdy's conditioning has been a topic of discussion. You guys have talked about it. This is simply the eye test. He does not look smaller to me. He still looks like a big dude. Where are we with his conditioning, and what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's a reflection of his maturation. In the end, like, I've had these conversations so many different times in my career, whether it was with CeCe Sabathia and trying to help him understand nutrition and how that fits into the game and conditioning. And when you take a really young kid, and CeCe was 17 when we drafted him, just like Vladdy being so young, getting into the big leagues, the same age in the big leagues. And he's got to figure it out. I mean, we're helping him, we're supporting him, but players have to take ownership and accountability for their careers. It's our jobs to give them all the resources they need and to engage and support them. And I think he's learning and transitioning, and that happens at a different pace in a different way for every single player. And this is part of his transition to the major league level, understanding where that fits in and how that plays into his ability to prepare, practice, and put himself in position to be the best player he can be night in and night out. What it takes to endure a 162-game schedule and, you know, all the other things that come with major league life. So I feel like it's just part of his – everyone has different challenges. That's part of his challenge in transition. But I think it'll be something we look back on in 5 years and just a small part of what was a part of his journey to be a great hitter and a great player.
We mentioned the expanded playoffs, another rule change that has been applied this year, and you guys have, I guess, been on the wrong side of it, has been the extra inning rule, starting with a man on second. And I think it's established and created what they were looking for. I mean, a quicker outcome, but chaos. And I like it. I found it thoroughly entertaining.
What do you
make of it? I'm sure you're a baseball purist and an old-school baseball guy, but it looks different. It feels different.
Yeah, and I'm on the competition committee, so I was a part of the, you know, the discussion to utilize that at the minor league level, where it was overwhelmingly supported by the minor league managers and farm directors and players. So here's what I'd say. You know, I'm not sure it's perfect, and I try to take off my Blue Jay hat when I think about my MLB hat and my role in those committees. And I try to think that the other sports, the NHL, the NBA, and the NFL, have done such a good job being open-minded and adjusting their rules in order to change their games and adapt their games for a changing world, shorten attention spans, you know, to continue to attract younger fans. Baseball, the tradition piece, and I am a traditionist, you know, when it comes to like uniforms and, you know, old school ballparks, and there's a lot of things I love about the tradition of the game, but I do think we have to stay open-minded when it comes to the rules. And there are some things we should not mess with, but, you know, is it important for us to play 16-inning games, and does that benefit anyone? No, I think that actually puts players at risk. It puts seasons at risk for teams. Fans don't stick around and watch it anyway. It doesn't help anyone else. So is this the right rule? I'm not sure it's the right rule, but, you know, we did test it in the minor leagues, and it got overwhelming support there, and this is a year where nothing is normal, so this is a good year to test it,
right,
as well as the major league level, and see how we feel about it.
Well, we look forward to seeing the club back on the field, hopefully early next week in Atlanta. And, you know, best of luck down the road. Always appreciate you finding time for us. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Mark.
That'd be good. I appreciate that, guys. Thanks.
There's Mark Shapiro, president and CEO of the Blue Jays. Yeah, man, he's not wrong in saying there have been hurdles for every team, and then there's the Blue Jays.
Right.
That are not allowed to play at home, you know, came up here and had a spring training where they were isolated in the hotel and the stadium the whole time. And now they're going to be on the road for a long time. And now they're one of the six teams that are having games postponed because of the schedule. They're due to be in Philly.
Certainly, you know, everything's going against the Jays. It is. Yeah. It's a crazy season. I wasn't sure you're going to go there with Vladdy on the, you know, the weight issue.
We talk about it all the time, and when he's on, you got to ask him. I think it's you know, and he said, listen, there he's getting there, he's maturing, but he didn't say he's in great shape, right?
No, like, no, that
he admitted
he was on. You could tell he's like, hey, listen, he's young.
He's got to get going here. Yeah, he's got to take. It's on him. It is on him. You're right. A pro athlete. The team's not going to coddle you and drive you to the gym.
No.
If you're not going to do it, then it's on you as a player.
I know, and you just have to wonder at some point, like, it's not about embarrassing the athlete, but like I know of players that had to do daily weigh-ins because they just would let themselves go, and that's the unfortunate part. Like, Vladdy's a special talent, and this isn't a shot against him.
No, but you want him to be the best possible player he could ever be,
and that's what, you know, Mark was saying is we want to give him the tools to become a better pro, and it's on him. So
right. There
is a maturation process, and he basically said it's because he's young, he still has to learn that you can't just get by on talent. You have to commit yourself in all facets to be a pro athlete, and nutrition and working out and all of that comes with that. So, you know, I agree. Maybe if we're having this conversation, he's 27 and he's 320.
It's a totally different story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's 21.
He's still young. He hasn't played a full season in the league. Yeah,
right.
You've
got to give him the benefit of the doubt.